Begin, please. Let's learn. Let's learn about the laws of Shofar. Okay, we're up to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah soon is upon us. The Iker mitzvah derives of the Rosh Hashanah is the mitzvah of Shofar. Everything else is just smoke and mirrors. The mitzvah deraisa of Rosh Hashanah is the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar. What does it say in the pasuk? It says in the pasuk, Yoim teruah, okay, Yoim teruah lochem. It's a day when we blow shofar to Hashem, and this is the mitzvah deraisa. And how do we do the mitzvah? So we know. Okay, we're not going to go into the details now, but we have a shiloh. We'll do this another time. What is a teruah? Is a teruah what we call a teruah, 9 short sounds, or is a teruah three longer sounds? How long are those sounds? We'll discuss that another time. But the point is, each teruah, maybe it's both. Maybe a teruah is both 3 short sounds and 9, three shorter sounds and 9 very short sounds. Whatever a teruah is, a teruah has to be packaged with a tekiah in the front and a tekiah at the end. Okay, so we know that, and we have a suffix what it is. The end is min ha-Torah. We have to blow 30 koilos. What does it mean, 30 koilos? We have a suffix. What is a teruah? So if a teruah, and we have a drasha which teaches us that we should blow 3 sets of teruah, which would mean tekiah, teruah, tekiah, tekiah, teruah, tekiah, tekiah, teruah, tekiah. But being that we do not know what a teruah is, so in addition to blowing what we call a teruah, we have to blow a tekiah shvarim tekiah, tekiah shvarim tekiah, tekiah shvarim tekiah. And because maybe a teruah is both together, it's a shvarim teruah, so we blow tekiah shvarim teruah tekiah, tekiah shvarim teruah tekiah, tekiah shvarim teruah tekiah. And that takes us to a total of how many koilos? We call that 30 koilos. 30 koilos, it's really 9 tekiah shvarim tekiah is 3, times 3 is 9. And then it's another 9 for 18. Tekiah, tekiah, teruah, tekiah, tekiah, teruah, tekiah. And then we have shvarim teruah. And a shvarim, that's really 4. Tekiah, shvarim, teruah, tekiah. That's 4, 12. 12 plus 9 equals 30. So when you hear the magic number 30, that's the deiraisa, 30 koilos. We consider that to be the deiraisa, to blow what we call 30 koilos, which really is 9, 9, and 12. We do not know the precise definition of the word teruah. It may be the teruah is what we call a teruah, 9 short sounds, or maybe a teruah is what we call a shvarim. And we have a drasha in the Gemara that teaches us each teruah must be packaged with a tekiah before and a tekiah after, and this sequence must be repeated 3 times. And being that we do not know what is the correct teruah, we have no choice but to do it 3 times. A set of tekiah shvarim tekiah, a set of tekiah teruah tekiah, and a set of tekiah shvarim teruah tekiah. 9, 9, 12 equals 30. This is the mitzvah deoraisa of blowing shofar. When do we do this? We'll discuss. We do this, we break this, we do it, and we do this. We do a really a total of 100 koilos. A grand total of 100 koilos, and it's all spread out through davening. We'll discuss some of this in a few moments. Let's just first discuss some basic concepts. First, yisun. I want to embellish some of the halas, a little bit of machshava, to give it more of a substance, that we should not forget what we're learning. Number one. What exactly is this is one of the most basic yesodos in the laws of shofar. What exactly is the mitzvah of shofar? Is the mitzvah to listen to the shofar, or is the mitzvah to blow the shofar? And we ask the question, if the mitzvah is to blow the shofar, every single person should come to shul with a shofar and blow the shofar. and we'll have koilei subrakim in shul. Everyone is blowing the shofar. It'll be, who knows what the shul's going to sound like. The whole Brooklyn, the whole world will be filled with sounds all over the world. So is that the mitzvah? So if the mitzvah indeed is to blow the shofar, how then can everyone in shul be yotzei with one person blowing the shofar? The answer is shomea ke'oine. By listening to one person blow the shofar, we have a principle in halacha: listening is equivalent to recital. So the truth is, maybe according that when we listen to the shofar, we mean mekayim the mitzvah, not midin shemia, but midin tekiya. And through listening, it's as if we ourselves have blown the shofar. This indeed is the opinion of a collection of Rishonim. I don't have any of them in front of me to tell you because he doesn't quote them over here. He writes over here, the kids what I'm reading from over here, Rabbi Tesner. But this indeed is the opinion of many Rishonim that the mitzvah, the araisa of shofar is not to listen, but it is to sound the shofar. And by listening, when we listen, it's as if we are sounding the shofar based upon the halachic principle called shomea ke'oine. Another collection of Rishonim vehemently disagree. And it is their opinion that the mitzvah of shofar is not to blow the shofar. The mitzvah is to listen to the shofar. And then there's a third set of Rishonim who are of the opinion that it's both. The mitzvah of blowing the shofar in Rosh Hashanah is to do two things. It's to blow the shofar and to listen to the shofar, to listen to your own blowing. A person, Rachmana Litzlan, is deaf and he blows the shofar, that would be a very big nafkamina. If you know the mitzvah deraisa is to blow the shofar, you blew the shofar. You don't have to listen. If the mitzvah deraisa is to listen to the shofar, you can blow all you want. You didn't hear the shofar. Doesn't make a difference. You cannot, Rachmana Litzlan, a person who is deaf, cannot be yaitz in the mitzvah of shofar. If you learn it's both, so you're also, it's you're mekayim one element, but you're not mekayim the other element.
Two questions. One, can a cheresh blow them according to
that would be the nafkamina. First is a cheresh chayv mitzvah altogether. The person who's a deaf mute, there's a shayla, is he chayv mitzvah? If he's not chayv mitzvah, the person that's not chayv mitzvah cannot be moitzi or mitzvah. There's another issue with the cheresh. Is he a bar chiyuva? If a cheresh is not a bar chiyuva, so then there's a problem if he can be moitzi.
The second question is,
right, so halacha l'maisa, we presented three opinions. The mitzvah is to blow, the mitzvah is to listen, or the mitzvah is both. How do we paskin? We paskin that the mitzvah is to listen. And the proof is the bracha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos ha'vitzivanu lishmoya koil shofar. Halacha l'maisa, the mitzvah is to listen to the shofar, v'zehu. That's how we paskin. Now let's go a step further. There's a lot now with a little bit of machshava, very briefly. What is the purpose? What is the time of the mitzvah? The Hafsad, everyone knows that the Goinim, they give many, many reasons for the mitzvah, but the primary theme, the combination, the common denominator is arousal. A person by nature is a human being, is a basar v'dam. A person by nature relates to the earth. He's not a spiritual. The choimer of man is not spiritual. A person is always in need of chizuk. He's in need to be awakened from his slumber to elevate himself to the spiritual worlds. The blowing of a shofar is a very disturbing sound. It's like an alarm clock. It's a wake up. It arouses the person, awakens him from his slumber to wake up and recognize that he's in this world for a purpose to serve Hashem. So here's the question. When you give a shir, Chazal tell us, Umi talmidai yoyser mikula. Everyone knows, everyone here at some point in time has given a shir, has given over Torah. We all know clear as day that when you teach, the clarity you gain in the subject matter is infinitely greater by teaching than just by attending a shir. You go to a shir, you listen to a shir, and more often than not, it goes in one ear and goes out the other way. It goes in and goes out so fast, you don't even know. You don't even know what happened, right? You don't even know. You don't even know. You can say, "That's it, God. What did you learn today?" Someone comes home from the morning kolo, and their wife says to them, "What did you learn today?" "I have no idea." "I have no idea." Okay, that's not a good sign. It goes in one ear, out the other ear. Worse, "What did you teach today?" "I have no idea." Okay. But generally speaking, umi talmida yoyse mikulam, through giving over, generally, there's much more clarity. So therefore, one can very strongly argue, if you go and you tell me the mitzvah is to listen, the ikar mitzvah, the deraisa, is to listen, is to be aroused. When you hear that call shofar, you hear it, you have been aroused. You have been awakened. You have been awakened through the sound of the shofar. The one who does the arousing, don't you think he's even more awakened in his spiritual awareness of Hashem than the one listening? Just like when it comes to teaching, everyone knows that if you teach the subject matter and you would take the exam, you would get an A in the course, right? You take people who have the Dirshu exams, for the Daf Yomi. So, who takes the exams? The people who give the shiurim or the people who listen to the shiurim? Most of the people who take the exams, the people who are giving the shiurim, because by giving the shiurim, they know the stuff. The people who come to the shiur, listen, it's one thing I can sit here and listen, but to go take an exam on the shiur, I'm not ready to take any exams. But the people who give the shiurim, so they have more of a chiles to take the exams. So if I blow the shofar and I wake everyone up, and for some strange reason I don't hear the shofar, I'm wearing a noise-canceling, the Bose noise-canceling headphones. I got in the mail, won the lottery. Noise-canceling headphones I'm wearing. I don't hear when I'm blowing the shofar. And I'm looking at the room, and the people are awakened. They're awakened. They're listening to the shofar. So don't you think that if I am instrumental in waking up the people, I woke them up. Don't you think I should get credit for the mitzvah of blowing the shofar? That would be a svara. What's so fascinating is, what you learn from tekiyah shofar is, no. You can wake everyone up by blowing the shofar, and you can look at their eyes, and you can see these people have been awakened, but you're not going to the mitzvah. Because you didn't hear, let's say Rachman's person is deaf, or whatever, my shofar, whatever, that day his ear hearing is not working, whatever the situation is. The one who woke up the people himself, he did not hear, so he was not wakened, he's not yoytzei the mitzvah. And it's an incredible limud hamusar, is that maybe when it comes to teaching the subject matter, this is the point I want to make, when it comes to teaching, to knowing the subject matter, the one who gives the shiur can get 100. And the people in the shiur, they'll get a 30 maybe. They listen to the shiur, they know whatever they know, they listen. But when it comes to practice what you preach, it means nothing. Just because you stand up in front of a tzibur and you hack away, you have to be Yerushalayim, you have to learn Musar, you have to do Halacha, you have to daven, you have to learn. It doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean that the Magid, the one that's giving the Musar, the one that's arousing the people, the audience, the Magid, is going to be a bigger Yerushalayim than the people who are listening to the Drasha, unless the Magid applies himself to practice what he preaches. It's not automatic. Maybe it's automatic that you'll know, you'll have the idea of the subject matter when you teach better, more so than actually being a participant. But as far as being, when it's not a question of knowing, it's a question of living, it's a question of practicing what you preach, it doesn't mean anything. The purpose of the shofar is not to know what it sounds like. The purpose of the shofar is to awaken yourself, to awaken your neshama to do teshuvah. Just because you're blowing the shofar and you're waking up other people and they hear this disturbing sound come out of a shofar with a bracha, they indeed may have been aroused. It's very possible they hear that shofar, it touches their heart, and now they're different people. They have a higher level of Yirah Shamayim. It doesn't mean for one moment that the one who blew the shofar himself has a higher level of Yirah Shamayim because he blew the shofar. He's in the same boat as everyone else. He has to also listen to that sound, and he also has to apply himself to be a Yirah Shamayim. Just because you blow the shofar and you succeed in having other people hear the sound of the shofar does not automatically give you a free pass that you were mekayim the mitzvah of shofar because you blew the shofar. The mitzvah is to listen to the shofar for them and for you. And don't argue, but I cause other people to hear. I cause other people to be awakened. So doesn't that automatically mean that I myself am the most awake? If I'm the one who wakes up other people, it must be I'm awake. You never saw someone who's asleep, or someone who sleepwalks, okay? Someone who's a zombie and he wakes up other people. Someone who's a, what's it called, a sleepwalker, doesn't wake up other people. Okay, so if the fact that I'm waking you up, it must mean that I'm also awake. No, it doesn't. That's the chiddush. That's the chiddush lahalacha. The mitzvah is to listen. For who is the mitzvah? For the people in the audience and for the person who blows the shofar himself. And the chiddush is, even though generally we know there's a principle that me tell me that yosef mikulam, we have to clarify that halacha, that principle. That's true with regard to knowledge of subject matter. But in Rosh Hashanah, it's not knowledge. It's practice. It's to be true to your beliefs. And just because you're waking up other people with a beautiful kol shofar, if you don't wake yourself up by also listening to what sound that you have produced, you are not yotzei the mitzvah. Yeah.
So it was the same analogy if I was to take an example of waking yourself up. For example, about tefillah on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, right?
Same thing.
He's doing it. Because each letter he has to be careful about the grammatical structure of the letters and the nusach and also the sing-song style, so to speak. That's his machshava. He's really concentrated. So if he doesn't concentrate on the words, what they mean, melchiyoshe, you know, rosh shani kosevin and all that, he's more concentrated. So he's is that a comparable analogy?
Go even further. Let's say he has kavana. He has the right kavana. The perish hamilos comes out in his nusach. That's clear. You can immediately tell a mile away if the Baal Tzfila knows the translation of the words that he's saying. It's obvious. If he's just saying words, he doesn't even know what he's saying altogether, and you. It's obvious a mile away that he's just saying words. But let's go further. Let's say he understands what he's saying, but he himself is not misragesh from his own davening.
Right, he doesn't have the feeling.
No, he does have the feeling. He has the feeling. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's for them, not for me. I'm here to awaken the people. I'll sing with a harp. You know something? I don't really believe in this. I had a rough year. What? I had a rough year. I had a lot of problems. I'm very frustrated. I'm very angry at Hashem. I had a lot of difficulties in my life. Things are not going the way. It's not fair. Life is not fair. Listen, I need the parnasa. They're giving me $10,000 to daven for the Olam. If I don't do a good job, they're not going to give me the money. They're not going to ask me to come back next year. So I'll daven with a full heart. But maybe someone in the audience, they like it, they're nisragesh, they have a good life, things are good by them. So when they hear my davening, it brings them to a very high spiritual level. But me, you know, I'm not really a believer. So you'll say, no, it can't be. If someone else is nisragesh, and you're the cause, you're responsible for it, so don't you think you should get credit? The Baalei Halacha have taught us an incredible principle that when it comes to laws of shofar, the answer is no. Because when it comes to Tekiyah Shofar, the mitzvah is to listen. It's to listen. And you know who the mitzvah to listen is for? It's not just for the audience, who has no choice but to listen. It's even for the Baal Tzvila, the Baal Tokeya. He also has, his mitzvah is not to blow, his mitzvah is to listen to the sound that comes out of his blowing. And don't give me this argument, well, if I'm instrumental and other people listening, automatically that means I am the ultimate, I have fulfilled it in the ultimate form. And l'may nafkamina, let's say Rachmana Litzlan, he's deaf. So if I went and I blew, and I've caused other people to listen, to wake up, it automatically means that I am the most awake. You don't say that. That's the Chiddush. And even though this principle is true with regard to knowledge, and we know that to be true, to understand the subject matter of Torah. If you're teaching, you know the subject matter. But just because you know the subject matter doesn't necessarily mean that you practice what you preach and you believe in what you're teaching. The laws of Tekiyah Shofar teach you, you have, even the one who blows the shofar, even he has a mitzvah to listen to the shofar. Now, other Rishonim disagree. We don't paskin like them, but even though we don't paskin like them, doesn't mean there's not truth in what they say. And they hold that the mitzvah, no, the mitzvah is to blow the shofar. So what does that basically mean? The mitzvah is to wake up someone else, to be the one who wakes up. Obviously, they hold, if you are involved in waking up someone, in arousing, and blowing, not even in listening, it's going to rub off on you. I read recently the Vard, which shook me to the core. It really shook me to the core, this yisrael. I saw this in one of these Gdolim stories, one of these books, they put together different stories. I don't remember the Rosh Shiva. If you really want, I can go back, I'm going to find it, because I have to go anyway, go through that sefer again. I have to find something else. I'm going to find Bli Neder who said this. But one of the big Gedolei Yisrael, he told his Talmidim, I think it's a very good idea, all of you should become Rabbanim. Go out, I want you to become Rabbanim. Don't just sit in the basement, become a rabbi. Why? Why should I become Rabbanim? So he said to them, don't fall off your chair when you hear this. If you'll be a rabbi, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to make believe that you care about someone else. You go to a rabbi, oh, hello, how are you? How are you feeling? How are you feeling today? Doesn't even come, I see you 3 days, where have you been? And you call the person up, the rabbi, and it says that you could really care less, the guy didn't come to your shul. You didn't care less that the Baal HaBos, rabbi, you didn't care less the Baal HaBos didn't come to your shul for 3 days? You couldn't care less. You would never ever call him. Why are you calling him? I'm the rabbi. It's my job. I have no choice. This is my parnas. I need the money. So therefore, I call him up and say, hello, how are you? We miss you so much. Oh, we miss you. A big, big gadol said this. Become a listener. Now you hear me out. Hear me out. Don't walk out now. Listen. Good. Listen to what he says. It's true. I'm sorry to tell you. It's really true. Take it from one who knows. Listen. I'm not finished yet. Listen. Hear me out. Don't walk out of the room yet. The Rosh Shiva said to this Talmidim, I want you to become Rabbanim. You'll become Rabbanim. You'll have to make believe you give a hoot about someone else but yourself. That's so with a shock. Rosh Shiva, the God of Hadar, is telling us. And then he said, you know why I'm telling this to you? Because after you do this for a year, 2 years, 3 years, you know what's going to happen? You're really going to care about them. For real. It's going to rub off on you, and you're really going to care about your Baal HaBata. Okay? It's going to really make a difference. And if you would never be Rabbanim, you would just sit in the basement and learn and get a job. Your whole life will pass, and you'll never come to care about another person. You might go be polite and say this and that, but deep down inside, you'll never care. You'll do this because you're forced to do this on a daily basis and to be responsible for your tzibur. I'm telling you, it's going to rub off, and it's going to become very sincere. You're going to really, really care for real, not just make-believe. This is the world. This is the mitzias. This is not a lie. This is mamish mitoch shaloy lishma bal lishma. But you got to put yourself in a matziv of shaloy lishma. It doesn't happen. You come lishma. It doesn't happen. You become a malach alikim overnight. It just does not happen. You have to go through the steps. This is the mitzias. Halacha lemaisa. What is tekiyah shofar? It's to listen, to be awakened. It's not to blow the shofar. That's how we pass them. But the other rishonim that disagree, the mitzvah is to blow the shofar. The mitzvah is to wake up someone. The mitzvah is not to listen. You don't have to listen to the shofar. The mitzvah is to wake up someone else. But if you wake up someone else, you don't really care. You wake up someone else. You really care about him. You care about you. Are you awake? Obviously, the answer is when you wake up people every single year. When the avoid is, care about other people in this world. People are sleeping in this world. You have, like I told you, 10 million kiruv, the whole kiruv rechaikim. There are people out there that are sleeping. The mitzvah is to wake them up. You'll tell me, I have to wake myself up. Before I can wake them up, I have to wake up myself. Obviously, what they hold is, you're right, when you're going to start waking them up, you're not going to really care. And you yourself will be, I myself am asleep. I'm now involved in waking up other people. But kachi darkoy shel olam, it rubs off on you. When you start waking up people year after year, and you're in the business of kiruv rechaikim, not only do you, over time, really sincerely care about waking up people, it has an effect on you. You wake up also with them. That's a very deep approach. This is the shita of a collection of Rishon. This is the mitzvah of Shofar. Not to listen, to be wake, to be awakened. The mitzvah is to go for the higher level. Wake up other people. Oh, you'll ask me, but it's nonsense. If you yourself are asleep, how could you wake up someone else? Trust me, it goes hand in hand. It takes time. It takes time, but it goes hand in hand. And the third collection of Rishonim say, it's both. The mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar is mitzad echad, is to listen, which means to be awakened. And mitzad sheni, you know, you have a responsibility in this world to wake up other people as well. And by waking them up, mimela, you'll also be part of the process. So this three opinions, and what is the ikar hamitzvah halacha lemaisa? We paskin like the shita. It's to listen. It's you should wake up. That's the bracha l'shmoya kol shofar. But just because this is how we paskin halacha lemaisa does not in any way take away from the emes of the other Rishonim that say there's also an element of waking up someone else, an element of doing both. Yes, Mr. Cohen.
We say, the chakras, when you blow the shofar, the chakras, do you want to make any connection with that?
Say it again? What do you mean?
I said, if the chakras, we blow the shofar.
Yes.
Did I say, do you want to make any connection with that, with blowing the shofar?
Well, it's all a hachana. When we blow shofar in Chodesh Elul, I mean, there are different reasons why we blow shofar. The simplest reason is a zecher for the chet ha'egel. It's a zecher that Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim. He went to Shemayim for the last 40 days to bring down the luchos, and he was afraid that the people would do the egel again. That's what Chazal say. Moshe, why do we blow shofar during Elul? So there are many reasons, but one of the main reasons is because it's a zecher for what Klal Yisrael did when Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim to receive the second set of luchos. They counted, they blew shofar every single day to count the days, to remind them that Moshe is going to come down on day 40 with the second set of luchos. And don't make that same mistake they made the first time when Moshe was a little bit late in their calculation. They worshipped the egel. It was an antidote that it should not, the same mistake should not be repeated again. That's the simplest reason, the zecher for the chet ha'egel. On a deeper level, we're also hachana for the yomim noirayim, and just like we blow shofar, so we're practicing. We're getting into the frame of mind of the mitzvah deraisa of tekiyah shofar. Many, many reasons. In the chanan, but yes, that's correct.
Now, are there frush, like toiv, and yosh,
Levadai. You gotta, very good, beautiful. You have to care for someone else. You gotta be involved. You gotta be involved with, not just for yourself, both. It goes hand in hand, both together. Okay, so this is the first Yisrael Shabbat.
Every time I bank, everybody should remember to say Yahweh Yavo, and then I forget.
That's right.
How many insurance people don't have insurance for themselves?
That's right.
No,
that's right.
That doesn't happen.
Oh, yes, they find out when they die.
The shoemaker's children don't have shoes.
The plumber has a lot of leaks. Yeah.
The shoemaker, that's right. It's very, very true. It's very, very true.
Your whole life is like that.
Yeah. I gave it, people who give shiurim, they'll tell you they have no time to learn. They sit the whole, they give a 50 shiurim. They give, and then they say, yeah, I give these shiurim, but like, I don't really feel I'm learning. I'm giving shiurim, I'm learning. But I don't feel like I'm mastering a masechta. I'm learning a topic the way I should. I'm just too busy, too vertracht. Yeah, I come before the shiurim, I look over something, and I go and I say it all. Very nice. So someone will say, wow, it's a Talmud Chacham, he gives shiurim, he knows so much learning. And you go talk to the guy, he says, I have no time to learn. Really? No time to learn? All these people consider themselves your students. They've all learned so much from you. And you say, I'm an Amo Aretz, I really don't have time to learn. Right, in the Chanami, it's an irony. It's an irony of life.
Long shofar, do you have to listen to a guy who's quote your Shemayim?
Oh, obviously, the more these are spiritual matters, the more Yirah Shemayim he has, the more potent his Kol Shofar is. If the guy is not the biggest Yirah Shemayim, and he blows the Shofar, you yoytze the mitzvah without any question whatsoever. Any observant Jew, observant, there are many levels of what you can call observant. He's observant in some degree, some capacity, Yishem Shabbos. In some capacity?
Well, take it away from him? Let's see, guys, been doing this.
You cannot take it away. I read this such a frightening story. They put out, I just glanced in the storm, so I opened the window storm, so they put out now a new book from article published from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. They have these little contrasts, but they translated, I didn't read the Hakdama, they translated one of these things. It's a very small book, Rav Chaim Kanievsky on the Yomim. You'll open up the newspaper, you'll see it advertised all over the place. I just read one little paragraph. Friday, it was a fellow who was about tefillah, who was about a story. It was about tefillah on the Yom Ha'Yom, and during the year he did something. He did something that was not pleasing in the eyes of the tzibur. So people were murmuring, he's going to be the Baal Shachris. You know, he's accused of scandal. He's accused of this. It doesn't say what it was. Doesn't say if it was gneva, chil Hashem, if it was abuse. It doesn't say. So listen, you can't generalize because I don't know the whole story. That's a problem. Whatever it was. So they didn't know what to do. So some says, listen, he has a chazakah. Let him daven, let him not daven. So someone made in this kehila, doesn't say any details, made the decision, we're not letting him daven. And we know that he's not going to take it lightly, because he doesn't really think that he did anything so bad. He's not going to take it lightly, so we're not even going to confront him. So what happened? It was the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and they finished. They cleverly finished. Psugah de Zimra, and they're out to the Hanoch, and very quickly before he had a chance to start singing from his seat, Hamelech. Someone else, in a very loud voice, started singing the Hamelech. So he, on the other side of the room, was very surprised. Wow, they didn't even tell me. And they right away chabmi, and the other guy started singing Hamelech. And he went to the Omer, and he davened Shachas. So this is what it says in the book. I didn't write the book, and this is not my type. I don't like these stories. I really don't like these stories, but it just shook me up anyway. I thought, it says that person, Davened HaMelech, did not live out his year. The second one. The Rav Chaim Kanievsky says. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, It's also, it's not a style. This is not his type of style to say this type of things. There's spooky things. We're not into these things. And he just says, you know, you don't, you have to be super sensitive to embarrass someone else. Listen, the guy did an Avera. All right, I don't know. We don't know the details. We don't know the details. But Soif kol Soif, the way the situation was handled, maybe they were right. Maybe Taka, they were right. They were right that he doesn't say you can you know, maybe that's the mile of this story. It's a good springboard to discuss what's the problem here. If a person did an Avera, maybe Taka, he's not deserving to daven for the Yom Kippur. Maybe he is. The one thing you learn, I think what what he meant to say in the story is that my interpretation is correct. The way the situation was handled was not right. They were mevazehin berabim. The tsar that he had, the shock that he had, that's not the way you do things. He did an Avera. No, maybe, yeah, maybe not. It has to be discussed. What was the Avera? What's the situation? Who's the tzibur? But not even to tell him and to put someone else up and to start HaMelech in front of the whole Olam when he's there and people, he obviously is expected to sing HaMelech. Wow. That's a scary story. This goes to show how sensitive you have to be to other people. Even when they deserve to be punished. They deserve to be punished. There are problems in this world. No one's denying their problems. So what? Or like the Goyim, you know, just because, you know, there are rules. There's a mahalach in Yashus and how you deal with things, and especially on the Yom Ha'aron. Powerful story, yeah.
There's another one I read about Shachan. There was a batzvillah, you know, in the yeshiva, and punished with the air conditioning. An adult who was down in Fiyas, and this was about Luka, and the other one was complaining that I can't hear him.
He would not step down. Step down. So you have to know how to do. You have to know how to do it. There's everything. Everything has a way. There's a technique. He has to be very careful. Okay, let's discuss another halacha before we go further. Not just as the basic, the study called the kiyos, the miyushev, the kiyos, the mu'umet. What does that mean? What are these two terms? The kiyos, it's all over the kiyos that are said when we sit down, and the kiyos that are said when we stand up. Now, in our minhagim, we always are standing for the kiyos. There's no such thing as sitting down by nusach ashkenaz. Well, that's really what touches upon. Me'ikar had, according to the halacha, the one who makes the bracha must stand. That's a given. The one who makes the bracha, and the one who blows the shofar must stand. It appears that in the time of Chazal, the people, they sat down when they heard the first set of tekiyos before Musaf. Not the way we do it today. It could be that there are some communities they still sit down. I'm not familiar. You mentioned over here, right, Tezman, there could be there are such communities. But the way we do it today in our shuls is that before we daven Musaf, we say Lam Natseach, Livnei Karach, Mizmar, and then seven times, and then they make some announcements, Yishnabi Mafsik, all the speaking, all the tekiyos, and then we blow a set of 30 tekiyos. Of 30 tekiyos, like we mentioned before, the set, those tekiyos are called the tekiyos de miyushov. Why are they called tekiyos de miyushov? Two reasons. Number one, in ancient times, I don't know what it means ancient, I don't know how long ago this was, it appeared that they sat down when these tekiyos were blown. The Baal Tokea, the Makri, they were standing, covered at Sibur, but the people who were listening in the audience in the shul were sitting. Why do we today stand when we blow those tekiyos? I do not know, but that's why it's called the tekiyos de miyushev. That's reason number one. Reason number two, maybe this is the more precise reason, what do we do after we blow those 30 koilos? We then daven shmona esrei. Okay, Yiskadal, we have Hinini, and then we have Yiskadal, and the silent Shemona Esrei, and then Chazaras Hashatz, and in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, when we recite Malchiyoy, Zichroinus, and Shoifrois, then we blow another 30 sounds. The Shemona Esrei in Chazal is called the Amida. The Amida. Why is it called the Amida? Your Oimed Lifnei HaMelech. Whenever you daven a Shemona Esrei, you are standing Lifnei HaMelech. Amida. Now, if Shemona Esrei, when we blow another 30 sounds during the Amida, some even blow during the silent Shemona Esrei. Nusach Svard blows even during the silent Shemona Esrei, and then they supplement that with blowing during the Chazaras Hashatz. All of that is called the Amida. Therefore, when you want to contrast the tekiyos that are blown during the Shemona Esrei, which is called the Amida, with the tekiyos that are blown before the Shemona Esrei, so what's the word you're going to use? The word you're going to use, which is the opposite of Amida, Yeshiva. So therefore, even though it's irrelevant if you stand, you sit, let's say even stand, like we did, we still call those tekiyos the tekiyos, the yeshiva, because those tekiyos stand in contrast to the tekiyos of the Shemona Esrei, which are called the tekiyos, the Amida. So it's not a question of sitting and standing, because for us it doesn't make any sense, and people are very confused. Which one of the tekiyos, the Amida, which of the tekiyos, the yeshiva? We stand for everything. So what are you calling me to the yeshiva? So the answer is, well, first of all, in ancient times, they sat down for the first set of tekiyos. They're called tekiyos the yeshiva. But the more precise reason, because the Shemona Esrei is called the Amida, so the tekiyos that we blow before the Shemona Esrei, by contrast, just because we, for the lack of a better term, we call it the tekiyos the yeshiva. Okay, now, why do we need to blow twice? Why indeed are there tekiyos the yeshiva? And tekiyos the Amida, why is it necessary to blow before and after? So on a very superficial level, you'll answer, because we need to come up with the number 100. The truth is we have another 40 tekiyos. What are the other 40 tekiyos? After we finish the Shemona Esrei, we blow 40 more sounds. Now there's a big, big tumult. We'll discuss this maybe if we have time, how to break up the last 40 to do it in the middle of Kaddish, before Kaddish, after davening is over. All right, that's for another time. After the davening is over, after the Shemona Esrei is over, we blow 40. Those 40 tekiyos are much, much more lenient. Much lenient if a person talks by mistake, because those last 40 koilos are just to be mashlim, a dvar agoda, that we should blow a total of 100 sounds on Rosh Hashanah. The Iker is 30, and the Iker is to blow it during the Shemona Esrei, during the Tefillah, Malchiyos, Zichroinos, and Shoifros. The real Iker Tekiyos is what we blow during the Shemona Esrei.
Which one?
All of them.
No, what I meant was you have the Svarga.
Yeah. All of them. All of them, because they only blow in total 30 anyway. They just break it up. They break it up. But whatever you're blowing during the Shemona Esrei, this is the Ikur, because these are being blown within a bracha, within the framework of Malchiyos, Zichroinos, and Shoifos. The next most choshev set is what you blow right after you make a bracha. You make the bracha. Asher kedeshanu b'mitzvos b'shem l'shmer kol shofar, make a shechianu, and you blow, you're blowing after the bracha. So whatever you're blowing, the tekiyos, the yeshiva, are the second most significant collection of tekiyos. And then when you blow when Shemona Esrei is over, no, you're blowing another 40 sounds, so you can, the sum total will be 100, because we have a tradition that the mother of Sisera, a Goyisha woman, when she saw that her son Sisera did not return home from battle, and so she got nervous and she cried 100 times, 100 koilos. It doesn't say this anywhere. It's a tradition. She cried 100 koilos, and the pasuk says that she cried. It says the pasuk says Vatiyavev Aim Sisera. She cried. And the word Vatiyavev is really an Aramaic word. And it says that Yoin Teruah in the Torah, when the Torah says there should be a day of Teruah, the Targum Unkele says, Yoima Diya Baba. What does it mean, Diya Baba? Go to Shoiftim, look at the story of Sisera, and it says, the mother of Sisera, Vati Yabev, is exactly the same word. So Chazal figured out that the meaning of Teruah means to cry, a day of crying. The word Teruah also means a shofar, an object of a shofar. So it teaches us that when you blow the shofar, it's a crying sound. How does a person cry? They cry either like what we call a Teruah or a Shevarim. There are longer sounds, shorter sounds. So to make a long story short, we learn the definition, the essence of how to blow the shofar from the mother of Sisera, who, where it says Vatiyabev, and since the mother of Sisera cried 100 times, so we blow 100 koilas. That's Divrei Agoda. So when we blow at the end of davening another 40 koilas to the mashkon, the number 100 is Divrei Agoda. So the significance of those 40 is not as intense, nearly as intense, as the significance of what we do during the Shemona Esrei and what we do before the Shemona Esrei. But don't take it lightly. This is Minhag Yisrael Torah. Don't take it lightly. We blow 100 koilas. Now, here's something that's very new to me. Now, everything is new to me, but there's really beautiful chiddush. I never saw such a thing, such a chiddush. He asked here a fascinating question, Rav Tesner, and he's trying to appreciate the halacha. It opens up a whole new world of appreciation, understanding of what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah. He asked, why do we blow during Musaf? The blowing, Zrizim Makdimim Lemitzvahs. Right? Zrizim, I'm embellishing what he says. He doesn't say everything, I still don't talk. If I say something nonsense, so don't attribute to him. Why? Zrizim Makdimim Lemitzvahs. So we should blow first thing in the morning, just like Bris Milah, especially it's Yom Hadin, right? We should get up 6 o'clock in the morning and blow shofar right away. We don't do this. Why don't we do this? It's Minhag Avoseinu B'Yodeinu. There was a Tekufa of Shmad. When was this Tekufa? I assume it was during, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the 52 years between the Churban and the Harugei Beitar. During this Tekufa, maybe it was more than 90 years, we'll show how long it lasted, there was a significant Tekufa of Shmat, maybe it was even later, whenever it was, where the Jews were not permitted to blow shofar. Because the Goyim realized they were doing something different, they got very nervous, what are they doing over here, they're blowing shofar, when you blow it, it will make these loud sounds, it gets them very nervous, it's a religious practice, you can't practice religion. They forbade the Jews from blowing shofar to the point where they sent inspectors. They sent inspectors to the Batei Knesset, Batei Midrashos, to see what's going on. The Goyim there, what's the word we call? Dossier? How do you say that word? Dossier? On their dossier, it says the Jews daven shachris. Didn't say anything about Musaf. The dossier made no mention of Jews daven musaf because they didn't have patience to sit around and shul so long, the inspectors. So it said on the dossier, they daven shachris, so they watched the davening, they davened the whole shachris, and they didn't blow shofar. Oh, very good. So the inspectors went home, they went for lunch, they went out to Baskins and Robbins, some ice cream, and they never came back to shul to make, they went home. Oh, Baruch Hashem, they went, the inspectors are gone. Now we pulled out the shofar, we davened musaf, and in the musaf, Chazal Masakin, in the musaf to add to him. To
same thing
in,
about Aleinu?
What?
Same thing about Aleinu at the end?
I don't know. But whatever it was because there was a tekufa where they did not allow us to blow shofar early in the morning, and they sent inspectors. The inspectors ran out of steam after shacharis. They couldn't handle the drasha. Touched a long davening, so they ran home. And once they were gone, when the cats were away and the mice will play, we took out our shofar and we started blowing shofar during Musaf. And how many koilas did we blow during Musaf? 30 koilas. This is before the days of Agoda. Before we started blowing 100 koilas, we just blew 30 koilas during Musaf. We were very happy. We were satisfied. We didn't need 100 koilas those days. We blew 30 koilos, it was more than enough, we're done. That's what happened. Now, what happened then? Then it came a point in time when the gzeiros were batal. And the goyim, not only did they leave before Musaf, they didn't even come for shacharis. They didn't even bother coming altogether. So therefore, we were really allowed, if we so wish, we can blow during shacharis. We really should blow during shacharis. We should really embellish the shacharis with malchiyos, zichronos, and shofaros, and blow shofar during shacharis, zirize, magdimim, lemitzvahs. This is the mitzvah hayoyim. But at this point in time, when this is an incredible chiddush, what he's saying, Rabbi Tezna, I'm not sure exactly if it's his own chiddush or he has this rooted in some Maamar Chazal. When this happened, that the inspectors stopped coming altogether, now we have an opportunity to do it during Shachas. So let's do it during Shachas. No. Minigav was saying that we've been doing it already for decades, maybe for even a whole generation, in Musaf. This already has been etched. It's already printed in the article Siddur to do during Musaf. Well, we're going to go print new Machzor now. Listen, we did it until now. We're going to continue. But because Me'ikar Hadin, we can now do it during Shacharis, we're going to blow a second set of Tekiyos right after Shacharis to remind us that really we should do it during Shachas. So when we blow after Shachas, when we blow the first set of tequilas, that's really a chilek of Shachas. It's not ideal. It was a chilek of Shachas, we would do it before Kriyas HaTorah. We would do it mamish in the Shemona Eshrei of Shachas. But Chazal didn't want to change the Nusach. The Nusach was already established. But in order to remind us that, and to remind us of the whole sequence of events, that we do it during Musaf because of the Gezerah. If the Gezerah is bottled, we should now go back and do it during Shachas. We don't want to do it during Shachas because it's already been established. But in order to remind us that we really should do it during Shachas, it was established to blow an entire second set of Tekiyos after Kriyas HaTorah, before you put the Torah back in the Aron HaKodesh. We're talking before the days of the breaks in the Kiddushim, we're talking about when you daven Shachris, you lain, and before you put back the Sefer Torah, it's still Shachris, right? We're not talking about today where to us it doesn't seem like that, because to us, you finish Kriyas HaTorah, everyone goes home, there's Kiddush, and there's this, and there's a speech, and there's that. So we think that we're first taking out the Sefer Torah from Musaf, that's corrupt. It's part of Shachris. We're still part of Shachris. When we're blowing shofar, it's part of shacharis. It's not part of the chazaras hashas of shacharis. No. But it's part of shacharis, right? Why? Because that's where it belongs. That's really where tekiyah shofar belongs in shacharis. And it was added bedafka when the inspectors no longer came. All the inspectors are no longer coming to Shulfa Shachris anymore. We're going to put back the blowing of the Shofar where it belongs in Shachris. But we're not taking it away from Musaf. Minig Avos Seinu Biyodeinu, we're going to keep it. That's how it evolved. 60 koilos. 30 koilos. 30 koilos for the Musaf. That was the original. Now another 30 koilos where it really belongs. Once already we have such a big number, 60, we've passed already, we're already up to 60. No, we might as well do another 40 to get to 100, to be Mekayim, the Divrei Agoda, Vatiyah, Beibim, Sisra, after davening. That's what, now let's go a little bit further. What really bothered the Goyim? Let's say, if the Goyim really don't like religion, they're so disturbed with the Kiyah Shofar, why do they even let us daven on Rosh Hashanah? Why? You could daven. Everything is fine and good. Just don't blow shofar. Well, what's it to them? Yeah?
It's a revolution.
Okay, that's one time. When you blow a shofar, it's like you're rebelling. In ancient times, when you blow a shofar, it's like you sound at your table. You sound a siren.
Well, they, what? Like a call to arms.
Yeah. Call to arms. It's like, it sounds like it's a very frightening sound. Like, see, they, a lot of people have complaints. They have the siren for Shabbos. Shabbos, the Shabbos siren, including myself. I don't know. It sounds like the world's coming to an end.
Right.
Go into a bomb shelter. Okay, in Flatbush, in America, you don't want to hear that sound. If they would do this in Eretz Yisrael, they would go out of the line. They can't do this in Eretz Yisrael. This sound in Eretz Yisrael means go to a bomb shelter.
They do something
different. Not this sound. This sound is a bomb shelter sound in Eretz Yisrael. If they would do this sound in Eretz Yisrael, everyone would be running for the bomb shelters. So they do there, they have all, yeah.
Now, at the Haim, they used to test, I think, the air raid sirens. Yeah. I think it was
Wednesday,
Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
Wednesday or noontime.
Wednesday noon.
It was Wednesday noon.
What is that?
They would blow, they had the sirens.
So it's a very frightening sound.
The air raid, remember the air raid?
Many people have issued complaints. They don't like. We're in Golis. I think it's a little bit too much. The Gaul and Flatbush. Maybe Lakewood, you won't have a, you have a siren for Flatbush and a siren for Shabbos. All right, it's not my business. Any event, let's. I want to clarify this. It's a very important point. What is it to the Goyim? What is it? What do they care so much? They care so much. They care so much that they blow shofar. They let them daven shachris. During the times of Shema, they were different tekufas. We're dealing obviously with tekufa. They let them daven. And they obviously they had a nusach of b'yom hazikaron hazeh. They obviously they said the nusach of Rosh Hashanah, but no shayf. Why? The answer is a very important point. Rosh Hashanah is not just a yom hadin for us. Rosh Hashanah is a yom hadin l'chol boy oylam. Kol boy oylam oyvim l'fanecha kivnei marayin. It's the whole world. The goyim, whether they know they don't know. They sense it. They sense it. There's something there. They have that sense. We're in trouble. It's the Yom HaDin today. We're goyim. We're not observant. We don't know what to do anyway. I'm the rabbi. We should just ignore it because we'll go out of our minds if we knew what's going on. But their neshamos sense it. It gets them very, very nervous. How do we succeed in din? Chazal tell us the moment of din is when you blow the shofar. The blowing of the shofar is the nitzochin, is the way all Elokim b'shua. It's the tool HaKadosh Baruch gave us to be menatzeach, to be successful in din. The goyim don't have the tools. The goyim are frightened. They don't know what's going on, but they're mazel in shamayim. Today's the yom hadin, and we're naked. We don't have anything to do to deal with the situation. We don't have any mitzvahs, we have any protection, we're molechet, and we have nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And look at these Jews. Look how lucky they are. It's the Yom HaDin for them also, and they know what to do. Hashem gave them in the midst of the shofar, they know how to deal with the situation. This drives them mad. If we got a problem, misery loves company. They cannot handle that we're miserable, we sense it, and the Jews, they're happy because they know how to deal with the situation. That's why they can't blow shofar. Even when the Gzeres Hashmad is over, it's not just, okay, you know, Minigav Seinu Biyodeinu. It's much more than that. Chazal was super, super sensitive, not to bring it back to Shachris. Even though no one's holding us back today. No one's holding us back today. We could do it during the Shachris. Chazal realized that if they put it back by Shachris, the Goyim would find out about it. Because it's the Yom HaDin for them also. And even though they're not coming to inspect, ultimately it would not be good in the long run at first. One thing, you have a mitzvah, the Goyim, they're just chepping with us. Don't do the mitzvah. They're gone. We'll go back. We'll do the way we like to do it. Goodbye. Goodbye. Get lost. Who cares about you? But this blowing of the shofar, it touches them. They don't come inspect us. Okay. But we're not taking advantage. We will not take advantage of the fact we are in Golus. Whether we like it or not. We're in Golus here. We're in Golus in Eretz Yisrael also. Mashiach is not here. We're in Golus. We're not going to take advantage of the Umos HaOlam on Rosh Hashanah. We're not going to go and stick it to them. We can deal with Din and you can't. Therefore, Chazal were clever in maintaining the Minog. That's a sensitivity. It's a very powerful concept in this world, is to be sensitive to someone else, even to the Goyim, even to a non-Jew. It's the Yom HaDin. The whole world is in the Yom HaDin. It's a frightening thing. And the most frightening thing about being in an Eis Sarah, everyone can relate to this, is when you don't know what to do. Rachmanos, some person's family, they find out they're not well. You hear stories. It's just horrible. And then when a person finds out why he's not well, and he has a good doctor, and there's a plan of action, how to get him back on track to a refuah shlema, you're not any better at this moment you were yesterday, but yesterday you were terrified, and today you're calm. Because now I have a mahalach. I have a doctor. I have medicine. I know exactly how everything's going to play out. I know I'm going to get better. The goyim have nothing. They're terrified. They're in massive chaos. We're not. We know. We're not going to go into their face and go lahachas. Ha ha, too bad for you. We know how to deal with this. So even if they're not coming to inspect us, we're sensitive to the fact that it's yoyim hadin l'chol boye ha'olam. We do it still ahead in Musaf. But because no one's coming to inspect us, and we should appreciate Zrize Magdimim L'mitzvahs, Chazal were misaken, that we should say, we should have Tekiya Shofar in Shachris. So we do another 30 Kailos. And once we have already 60, no, what's so bad? We'll have another 40. Where are you going anyway today? Another 40 to get to Eim Sisra. Let me conclude with one beautiful Vart. Where did I see this Vart? What I just said is a combination of what it says here and a little bit of our own. A little bit of our own. Now, let me just do one last far. Where did I see this far? This is what I'm telling you now. It's not mine. I saw this in the Sefer. Maybe it'll come to you in a minute. This is a very nice, very, very powerful Vart. Where did I see this? I can't remember. So it's very recent. I saw this in that Sefer. I always tell you from Friday. The Mechaber is anonymous. He tries to make himself anonymous. I know who he is anyway. But I'll tell you later on the name of the Sefer. Very, very short Vart. Why do we blow 100 koilos? Eim Sisra. There was another person who also cried over her son, and that is Sora Imenu. And in fact, Chazal said, this is a medrash, and I knew the medrash, but this is a different medrash. It says, how many koilos did Sora cry before she died? So I thought it was 100. I thought it was 100, and the Eim Sisra is just, a lot of times, the mother of Sisra is being compared to Sora Imenu. Sora Imenu cried over the Akedah, that Yitzchak Kimat Shaloi Mishkata, almost died. And Eim Sisra cried over her son. So one really, when we talk about Eim Sisra, we could care less about Eim Sisra, we could care about Yehud, about Eim Sisra. Sisra wanted to kill the whole Klal Yisrael. We care about his mother? No, so Eim Sisra, the common approach is, Eim Sisra is just a technique to remind us about the cry of Sora Imenu. Sarah, when she heard that Yitzchak was kimach like Nishchata, the whole Rosh Hashanah is about Yitzchak, the Akedah. Remember the Akedah? We lay in the Akedah. And after the Akedah was over, Sarah cried. How many koilos? She cried 100 koilos. So it was just a way to get to Sarah. All right, I'm not going there now, but there's another medrash. I never saw this before. He quotes it word for word that says Sarah cried 6 times. 6 times. When she heard about the Akedah, and then she died. And the Medrash says, that is why there's Halach and Agadah. Halach, we have a drasha, every teruah has to be sandwiched with a tekiah lefanecha and a tekiah liacharecha. It's a drasha. Halach, a drasha. Agadah, different world. Why 6? Because Sarah cried 6 times. Therefore, we have an obligation to do a teruah. 3 teruahs, a teruah. We do 30 because we don't know what the teruah is. We don't know what a teruah is. Is it a shvarim? Is it a teruah? A shvarim teruah? But minat Torah, we don't know what the minat Torah is. It's only a teruah. We package the teruah with 6 tekiahs. There's teruah, teruah, teruah. And before each teruah is a tekiah, 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 tekiah. And after each teruah is a tekiah, tekiah, tekiah. So it's tekiah, teruah, tekiah. Tekiah, teruah, tekiah. Tekiah, teruah, tekiah. How many tekiahs are there in total? 6. There are 6 tekiahs. The 6 tekiahs sandwich the 3 teruahs. That is their rice. Yoim teruah. We have a drasha that has to be 3. And each Teruah we package with a Tekiyah Lefanecha, Tekiyah Acharecha, for a total of six Tekiyahs, total of nine. 3, 6, 9, but from the 9, 6 are the Tekiyahs. We don't even know what a Teruah is, so we end up blowing 30. But in our Torah, it's just going to be 6. Why 6? Kineged the 6 koilos of Sara Imenu. In total, how many tekiyos do we blow? How many sounds do we blow in total? 100. Kineged Sisra. So in essence, what are we doing? We're really doing, each set has 6 tekiyos. We keep on repeating 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6. And it's all packaged in a big package of 100 koilos of Aim Sisra. How come my son did not come back from the battle of wiping out the Jews? My son went to wipe out the Jews and he didn't come back home yet and she cried. We contrast the 100 koilos of the mother of Sisra versus the 6 koilos of Sara Imenu multiple times. Each set is the 6 koilos, each set. Why are we doing that? So he writes in the Sefer something amazing. That's exactly the point. The point is, the mother of Sisra, she cried 100 koilos. And she didn't die. She accepted it. Sara cried 6 times over her son, and the tsar was so great, she died. Parcha Nishmasa. Look at the difference between us and them. The whole Yimei HaDin, it's Yimei HaDin L'chol Boye Ha'olam. We're going up against them. The whole Tekiyah Shofar, you know, it shakes up the Goyim. Go back to what we said before, it shakes them up. Why does it shake them up? Because the Tekiyah Shofar is not just our technique in dealing with it. It also, it's a Kitroig against them. What's the Kitroig? The 100 verse to 6. The mother of Klal Yisrael cared so much about her mission in raising a Klal Yisrael to be a Yorei Shamayim, whatever it means, the Akedah, he didn't go through the Akedah, whatever it is, it meant so much to her, the Akedah, however you want to interpret it, that after already 6 koilos, it affected her, parcha nishmas. The nitzchis of Klal Yisrael meant a lot to Sari Imenu, at kedei kach. Sisra, mother of Sisra, no, she cried. She cried 100 koilos. And that was it. Now it's time to celebrate. It's over. She cried and she stopped. It's over.
It's over.
Okay, so the shir is over after that.
It's time to celebrate.